Hi, it's Cara Brown, and this is Watercolor Conversations. It's a place where I share my love of watercolor and my seeking, my teaching, my discoveries, the connections I see, and just in general, what it's like to be alive at this time here on planet Earth. I hope that this meets a part of you that's longing to be met. Thanks for being here. Hi, it's Cara, and I thought I'd sit myself down and share with you some thoughts that have been burbling in me. There's a chapter in my book that needs to come together, and I thought that maybe if I sit and talk to you about it, that it might do something for my thoughts. I was moving stuff around in my studio recently, and I came across something that was pinned to the wall that was kind of hidden by some stuff. And it was the last page of a magazine or a pamphlet. I think it was an environmental thing, but magazine size, you know, letter size. And there's a quote on it from Iris Murdoch, the author. And she said, "People from a planet without flowers would think we must be mad with joy the whole time to have such things about us." So what is this mad with joyness that we get when we look at things that we find what we say is beautiful? I mean, what is beauty? Really, what is beauty? It's really a mystery. If you think about it, why does it even exist? Why do we find it so much in nature? Why did we evolve to perceive it and even create it? Archaeologists have found cave paintings and other kinds of creations that earlier humans made in burial tombs and other places. We were drawn to do this, to draw things. We were drawn to draw things. Interesting use of words. But it's really a thing. And I have a notion to call this chapter The Case for Beauty. It is a thing. And it does orient us. And when I say beauty, I mean beauty with a capital B. I don't mean what we would consider mostly the female appearance world of hair and makeup and such. I'm talking about John O'Donohue's definition of beauty, which he said was anything in the presence of which we feel more alive. And I've had some time in my life where I have felt like beauty was trivialized, like making pretty things, and pretty is sort of it's a watered down word for beauty. It's a trivialized version of beauty, although there's nothing wrong with the word pretty. I have been reluctant to say, this is what I do, and yet it is what I do. My birthday is in November, and this past November, a very dear friend, Sue, gave me a card with a quote by Elsie DeWolf. And she said, "I will make everything around me beautiful. That will be my life." As soon as I read this, tears immediately burst out from my eyes. To think that I could be that audacious, that making things beautiful could be my life too. To claim this as my life's work while living in such this broken world. I mean, look around and you see all the piles of crap that need cleaning up, figuratively and literally. It seems almost irresponsible. But the fact is, regardless of whether I've claimed it or not, making things more beautiful already is my life. And I mean beauty in the big way and not just the visual way. There's a book that I read somewhere along the way by Charles Eisenstein called The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. And his definition of beauty is definitely big. It's not just physical beauty, but it's generosity and kindness and compassion and care for one another. There's been a hiccup inside me along the way of another piece Cesar E. Cruz, educator and artist, said that art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And this was picked up by Banksy, a famous street artist. There's something here that is wormed inside me, this subtext, that there's a belief that disturbing the comfortable is somehow more important or noble or valuable than comforting the disturbed. But if we all disturbed the comfortable, then what about all those who truly need comforting? Who will make art for them? It's tricky. It's really tricky because I feel like there is a way in which a certain part of our culture will say that what I do and what a lot of the people who come to paint with me on a regular basis do is not important, that we are very comfortable people of a certain culture who have the luxury in our lives of the time and the resources to make the beauty that we do. And that's a really dystopian way of looking at the world, and one that I don't really want to jump on board with. No, the one that I do not want to jump on board with. All kinds of artists over many, 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 many years, hundreds, if not thousands, have done what we do, have had life circumstances that have allowed us to do what we do, and it does something to all of humanity and to the legacy that we leave to the next generation, because there is that response we have. When we see something really startlingly beautiful, a vista, the close-up of a flower with some water drops on it, the things that call us to paint, we had a response to. And that response was an opening in our chest, was extra air going in, like, that has us stop and be elevated above the mundane existence of creatures on this earth that has to do with finding food and shelter and safety and kinship. All that's necessary. But why do we need to stop there? Why can't we have this larger life? All of this is to say that if we have the means to do so, and that if life has presented us with the opportunity to turn back from it, is, as Stephen Pressfield says, to spite the gods that made us. We are here to do what we are here to do. And some of us are making beauty. There's a little story that I told in a blog post, a retelling of a weekend that I wanted to include here. And it was a late summer weekend, and I spent it with 6 other women who are all watercolorists at a friend's ranch in Cloverdale, California. And her home is in the middle of a number of acres of Cabernet and Zinfandel grapes. And they were hanging heavy on the vines. The sun was beautiful and bright, as it is in Northern California in August. It was amazing. There's an experience of being in a vineyard that is full of quite ripe fruit that is visceral abundance to me. There's something about the weight of the water and all of this fruit that is all around that is something to experience. It's not like any other being in nature that I've ever experienced. The concentration of food like that. It's just amazing. But we were also delighted by big, huge, tall sunflowers, and there was fruit on a peach and a plum tree, and their vista, talk about vistas, across the Alexander Valley to the hills, the Costa Hills on the other side. There's a reason we say breathtaking. You just breathe more. We had a beautiful lunch one day when we celebrated a birthday. We took pictures of the food because it was so pretty. And we laughed and we swam in the pool and we shared our affection for each other and we painted. It had originally been planned that I was going to lead this group, and then somehow, I don't remember exactly now how it shifted, that I would just be one of the group. I was just going to be one of the gang. And I got to then fall into my own time and obsess about getting the right picture of these ripe grapes with the light coming in on them, and then drawing it for 2 hours in the dark of the garage because I was using a projector. One morning, the Sunday morning, I went for a walk and found this beautiful kind of unkempt section of a vineyard that was hanging with little tiny grapes. They were probably Cabernet grapes, and the leaves were starting to turn all these amazing colors. It was so enlivening. I am a huge believer in spending time like this. It's incredibly restorative. When I came home that late afternoon that Sunday and was unpacking the car, our laundry is in the garage, and I glanced over onto the washer and dryer and saw a handmade note card. They're just sitting there, wasn't anything around, and no idea how it got there. I can't remember. It must have been my husband, but I have no idea where he got it. The handwritten message on the front was a quote from someone named Richard Watson, and he said, "Tao," and that is T-A-O, "to be truly good, you cease fighting the darkness. You just make beauty." Of course, my thought was, isn't this just the perfect message to cap my experience of this lovely weekend I just had? There's part of me that is so compelled to be so very purposeful, who feels responsible to do my part to right the wrongs of this world, that I can have a hard time just taking time to have fun, time for just pleasure. So what if all I need to do is just make beauty? And you too. What if making beauty is more than just making art? What if it's also how we talk to each other, or the space that we create when we gather? What if the beauty I'm already making is doing enough? I'm a deep believer in doing what it is we feel is ours to do. In addition to making beauty, I have taken on myself and as many people who will bear to listen to me to be as zero waste as possible. That's my hobby. I paint for a living. It's my call in life. And my hobby is to see that as much is composted as possible and that as much is recycled as possible. I sort trash wherever I go. I pick up trash. I am crazy about not putting plastic into the world if we can at all avoid it. These are the things that I do because I can't not. But this doesn't mean that that's your part. What we care about is personal. And I take such comfort in knowing that there are people who do all kinds of other things that I care about, but not as much maybe as they do, that we each have our little place, our pile of crap to help clean up in the world or prevent from happening. There are forces at work in the evolution of our minds and of our perspectives that are heading us in the right direction. I deeply believe this. In the face of people saying all kinds of things to the contrary, I don't care what they say. I deeply believe this. Another thing that I am compelled to do is that I will always encourage anyone who has the call to create in whatever way you do to do so. When you do, it's life-changing. And many of the things that people who listen to me, at least, want to create are in the category of making beauty. So follow the Tao, the ancient one's wisdom of not fighting the darkness and just make beauty. It's just an energy. There's a resonance with it. And the ripples that happen when we drop pebbles in the pond that send beauty into the world impact others and the world in ways that we can't even know. I recorded this a couple of weeks ago and didn't fully finish it, but I didn't want to throw it away because I liked the tone of what it is I was saying, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to say it the same way. So I just want to wrap this up by saying thank you for listening, and I hope that the beauty that you are and the beauty that you make shines out into the world. So until next time, thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.